I think we're just not willing to do messy conversations. And we need to help people learn to do that.
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Hey everybody, welcome back. I hope you loved and enjoyed part one with Sharon Menken, where we did a deep dive into our core values and you got to hear some of my, you know, inside the closet stories about connecting with my kids and my own core values and the convictions that I had. And here today, you will be diving into part two, where we get into the mission and the vision. And once again, I'm going to remind you to grab your journal and grab a pen, because you're going to want to write some of these things down. Sharon is full of just incredible language to put around some of the struggles that we have in our relationships and parenting. So if you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen to that now, and then listen to part two and piece it all together and write down all of the golden nuggets that are just for you. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and forward these episodes to a friend who is someone that you're doing life with, another parent, another mom that you love to just talk to, that you want to process with. These are going to be fantastic episodes for the two of you to connect and to process and really give you some key insights into your relationships, especially with those growing kids. And don't forget to reach out to me on Instagram. You can message me. You can email me, Megan@MeganBNilsson.com, and let me know what is resonating with you. What have you loved to hear? And if there are certain topics and themes that you'd love to hear in the future that are really just kind of rattling your cage right now in your season of life and vocation and parenting, marriage, let me know. I would love to really hone these episodes to be very specific and very beneficial and a blessing to you. So without further ado, here is part two with Sharon Menken. How do you coach women through like season of life changes? I'm just asking for a friend, Sharon. We just dropped our youngest off at college. So we are officially, quote, empty nesters. I have a friend that calls it free birding. So we're free birds. We're free birds. We're not empty nest. We're free birds, at least for a time. And so I feel that in my soul. I have just started seminary, so graduate school. And I feel a shift in my how I want to spend my time and focus. And I'm thinking, okay, what is a good question for me to ask myself when I sit down with my journal and my calendar to discern what my time looks like right now and where I'm spending it, how I'm spending it. I mean, a core value, yes, is connection. I think for me, it's also very aligned work. You heard me say earlier, like I would know my life was successful if somebody said she lived what God called her to do. And so I think in this season, I'm kind of reevaluating my calendar, what I'm saying yes to, what commitments I have, what I need to say no to in order to do seminary work, for example, which is graduate school. Like all of a sudden I'm like, oh gosh, this is a big thing I said yes to. Any thoughts of questions or advice there?
Oh, for sure. But also I feel like you're a little confused.
Okay.
you don't need to be confused.
Perfect.
So pausing, because I know just because of our previous conversation, this all kind of came down on you really quick.
Right.
And God gave you this opportunity and you took it. So you didn't like pause and consider how it would all align, you know, before you said yes.
Correct.
But that's really exciting too, because you're like, sometimes God just hands me something and I got to say yes.
It's got to be a quick action taker.
You know, it's
right?
Like, this makes sense. I'm doing this. I don't even know how it's going to play out. So that usually leaves you kind of reeling, because you've thrown this big rock in that you already have big rocks in, and now you're like, whoa, I got too many things. So when I start to spin, that's when I stop and say, you know, trusted friend, coach, counselor, whoever, sit down with me and help me whiteboard this and help me figure out what I'm doing. My encouragement to you would be that when my kids left home And this would have been more when they were even out of college, although you do have a lot of margin when they're in college. But when they're on their first jobs, you really have more margin because they're working all day. Yeah. You know, they're not going to have time to call you during classes. So what I would say is that you can figure out, take time to yourself, figure out what this time this needs, what the commitment needs, figure out where you feel like you're going to be neglecting, you know, your kids or whatever, and then tell them, like, this is that thing where you don't keep anything a mystery. You say, oh my goodness, God's giving this opportunity. The thing that really scares me the most is that it's going to take more time and I'm not going to be there for you. How does that make you feel? And can I invite you to pray for me? And how, this is really important to me. So it's, you're an adult, they're an adult now. So now we're like defending each other's dreams. Trust that they want you to be thriving. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom. And when I became a coach after they left for college, I didn't even, that's all I did it after I left for college. So I've been doing it a while now, but I remember being shocked at how proud they were of me that I reinvented myself, not because, you know, I wasn't available for them. And so I just think, give them more credit than you deserve, but don't make anything a secret. Like, go ahead and tell them, hey, this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid this will happen, but here's what I know to be true. You're still very much important to me.
Yeah.
So just give them a dialogue around all that. And I think you'll come into alignment with them. You know, as you know how much time it takes, just tell them, hey, won't be available on these days or, you know, so it feels confusing, but you will get to a place when you begin to see your workload, you'll be able to see and manage.
Yeah. And I think it also manifests. Yes. The family's the first ripple for sure. That's always the most important one. And then it's friendships, and then it's church. I mean, I volunteer a lot at church on the session elder board, and I just noticed some things of like, oh, throwing that big rock in has some ripple effects there too. Yeah, oh,
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe you do list those things, you know, and kind of work it out and talk about how much it is going to take. You'll also be surprised. I've been hearing a lot of buzz in a lot of podcasts and things about capacity, expanding your capacity. And I'm very excited to see how God expands your capacity. So it doesn't necessarily have to shrink. Maybe more productive. Maybe you'll be so energized around this. Maybe you'll buy back some time by getting off social media. Maybe you'll, I mean, you just, I think you might be surprised.
Okay. I'll take that as kind of a prophetic word from you, Sharon. I mean, yes, the capacity. Because isn't it interesting, even just one of my core verses in life, and I think around this podcast and the work that I do, is in Romans 8, where Paul says, the flesh brings death and the spirit brings life. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing very quickly, but I think my flesh immediately was like, I need to protect. I need to shrink back. I need to say no to things. And what you're saying is, okay, the kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. Now, the right fruit, the right abundance. But let me just challenge your thinking, Megan, and it's not necessarily a scarcity thing. It might be. The Lord might say, okay, this one thing's got to go, got to prune. There's pruning. But I feel, encouraged and convicted of like, okay, what if it's to increase your capacity for meaningful kingdom things, and you don't necessarily need to say no, but that's some work to do. So I feel that.
Just admit it when it's too much, you know, don't try to be the savior to all. God also brings other people to pick up the slack if he calls you to something else. So
yeah, pick up the slack, people.
Yeah. I am curious to see though, because transition is just like, you know, my coach friend told me that when you are stable in a stable season in your life and you're more, you know, you're hooked to the shore, everything's fine. And then you get unhooked from the shore, the anchor pulls up and you're out in the storm. And instead of, make sure you widen your stance, you know, like, ride the waves, you know, tend to allow yourself to be thrown from in the boat from side to side. So as we enter this conversation, you're thinking, you know, and just even the realization that, oh, you mean I actually could get it all done. My kids may not be disappointed. You don't even know if they will be, you know, right.
They have no idea what I'm doing.
And so just all of the woulda, coulda, shouldas things are really spinning right now.
Yeah.
I just love though, the honesty of when it does hit, you'll be like, hey, I'm so sorry. And disappointing people. I mean, leaders have to learn to disappoint people. That's not sinning against them.
Yeah.
I mean, just disappointing people can be sin. But a lot of times we just can't stand to disappoint anyone.
Yes.
And a lot of times God says, you know, you're going to have to say a no.
Especially as women. I think that's by and large, women and moms kind of have that challenge ahead of us of disappointing or perceived disappointment.
But even if they are, it's okay to say, I bet you're disappointed that I can't be there.
Yeah.
And I don't like that you had to feel that, but I can't be there. You know, just the confidence that you're walking in God's way.
Yeah. Well, and I love this sort of analogy or metaphor of being on a boat and getting tossed around. Obviously, I can't help but think of the gospel account, right? The disciples and Jesus being on the boat, and they're kind of freaking out, and they're like, "How can you sleep through this? Like, don't you care?" No. And he says, "Oh, you have little faith. Like, don't worry, you know." And I feel the graciousness, but also the conviction of that. And you had said something about kind of widen your stance.
Yes.
So that really reminding myself, okay, you have the faith, you have the wisdom, you have the discernment. So just widen your stance, tighten your core, like pretend like you're in, you know, like your exercise class. And they're like, the core is the most important part of your body.
Posture. And then revisit the truths of the foundation of your faith, you know. Reciting those truths is going to be a stabilizer, because no matter what happens, those things will be true.
Stabilizer. I like it. I like it. Okay. Well, I don't want to totally gloss past another passion point of yours, which is mission and legacy. And so I would be curious for you to describe, like, how does one's core values, how do they inform sort of the mission or legacy of a family? Because a lot of, obviously I'm in that place of starting to think more forward legacy, kids growing up, having families of their own. You're ahead of me. Can you think of any sort of teaching points or advice to think through the legacy question as well? You know, with core values, you said, what would make this a success? What would make your life a success or this event a success that helps you find your core values? Do you have sort of a magic question when it comes to mission, like, and legacy?
My husband and I've always loved legacy, just the idea of it. He even thought about getting a tattoo. If he ever did, he wouldn't, but I would. I still have a tattoo I've never gotten,
I just got a tattoo last year, so we could chat about tattoos.
I thought I might have offended you, but you know, I'm still
It was a whole thing when I was,
Anyway, he teases me about his, if I ever got one tattoo, which he wouldn't, but his legacy, because really we see it short term and long term. So, a legacy is literally what you leave behind when you walk away. So we think of legacy as a very long-term thing. We think about the eulogy exercise. We think about the impact on, you know, the people in our families. And really, you are building a legacy over time. It's usually the implications of your choices and character over time, you know, that create a legacy. But I'm always thinking about every interaction. I mean, you approach the grocery clerk, and when you walk away, she's either going to roll her eyes or she's going to feel better about herself, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're very big on impact and legacy. And so I think to be thoughtful about how you want to show up again with the core values and how that relates to the way you make people feel around you and that kind of thing. Because I had that cancer scare years ago, I thought a lot about eternal impact. And so what a gift to think eternally ever since then. I'd never studied heaven. I'd never thought about eternity. And I studied a lot about heaven because I didn't know if I'd live or die. And I really began to think, I have an eternity to tell them. I have an eternity to do this work, you know, and it just helped me kind of lengthen my days, a little less hurry, a little more trust. Mm-hmm. And so a good example of just a legacy thought for me was that we have very tiny grandchildren. So we have two little girls that are 6 months old. And then above that, it's just, you know, 20 months, you know, they're all little. And when I'm with them, I think about how, if I died today, they wouldn't remember me. Hmm. My father died when my grandson was a few years old. And I asked him the other day, what do you remember about Pop? And he didn't remember him, you know, and that made me really sad because I can picture them together. And the Lord just really encouraged me that it's an eternal timeline, but it really matters how I'm with them right now, because when you've watched a baby develop, it's like the synapses in their brain are constantly connecting. And the way that they grow in such a short period of time from not smiling at all, like you can't even see if they aren't even locking eyes. And then all of a sudden one day they light up when they get it. And just that trust that being safe and loved with me is my legacy. So I wrote a song for them. Like I just constantly think about the fact, and I get teary eyed holding them because they may not be able to name me and they may not be able to share a memory, but their body holds my legacy. And so I'm very tender and very careful when I'm with them because I want them to feel safe and loved. And so this whole idea of impact for me is a huge passion point, especially in a world which our communications are so lacking compassion and empathy and no desire for understanding, but just being heard. And I do think it's a scream for help in our world, but you can't do the things you want to do without making a decision ahead of time. And so intention without a plan is just, isn't helpful, right? And so the work that I would do around legacy is truly like the eulogy work, you know, when they're gone, back it all up. And then am I acting every day, keeping short accounts, using, being humble, all those things. And so that's the legacy work that I think is most important for a human, an interaction with others. But as far as like what's important to your family, a cute story, my grandson who's 9 came for a leadership camp at Honey and Pop's house, and he came by himself for a week and we did all these really fun things with him. But one of the days we took him to my mom's and we did a legacy Bible study together with her. And then we had him ask her questions, and he asked her, what's something you were proud of? And she brought out a Sunday school pen. And this is something that we can't even fathom. It's like a little pen, and then it had bars under it. And my mom said that I was proud that I went to Sunday school for 10 years without missing. Could never miss a Sunday in 10 years. So it's a perfect attendance pin that used to get in her church.
Perfect. Yes.
And she said when we'd go on vacation, my dad, so I wouldn't break my perfect attendance, would take me to Sunday school at the church, whatever.
Wow.
And I was like, as he lit up going, half the time we're traveling or at the lake or sports or, you know, sickness or whatever. But it was just really cool because I realized even in that moment, this legacy of faith that I've been handed, because when I was born, we went to church every Sunday. I mean, we never missed, you know. So just some of this legacy work, like making decisions ahead of time and then staying committed to it. And I don't know a commitment like that. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't. I can't.
Yeah. Right. We've got streaming.
I can save my perfect attendance.
But I guess I just am like, man, what really matters most to our family?
And what have you and your husband put in place to do that work? What have you put in place to do that work on a very practical level?
So on a practical level, we wrote a vision statement, which is the eternal vision, which is that every generation to come would know Jesus and love each other better than the one before. And so with that, there's a lot of humility involved. So Greg Gunn has written a book about it. We stole his vision statement because we loved it. And it literally helps you think, well, if I want the next generation to be better, then I have to confess on the things I wish I could have a redo on in their childhood, right? So we're always living in like this whole, like, you're doing it better than us, or cheering them on. And so that's been really sweet to see them grow and then fall on your sword when you didn't get to be the one, you know, and the expansion of that. So we wrote a vision statement. We wrote a mission statement that represents our family, and we've literally printed in a big, huge poster at our lake house. It's up there for everybody to see. And it's our open door. Invite you to join us as we live in the sacred rhythms of God's mercy and grace, loving, challenging, and celebrating each other along the way. Capital T, capital W. And that's what's so fun is it sounds like, oh, give me your mission statement, I can copy it. And you realize, no, you can't. Like vision, maybe overarching Christian theme, but there are families that aren't called to open their door. I mean, we did Life on Life discipleship. We had young women live with us. We had people in all the time. We were always the young life host. We were just made for it. Hospitality is one of my personal core values. I have friends that literally were like, I'm bringing them over, but don't send them to my house. And it's not like they were wrong. You know, they just didn't have the energy, the interest, the inspiration to do hospitality in the same way. But they did amazing things in their own right. So that's where the family mission statement is just unique to you. It's unique, right?
There's so much grace there and personality there and individuality there for your family. I'm laughing. You're like, you can't just pause this podcast, go back and listen to Sharon's and print it out. I mean, you could, but it's going to feel inauthentic.
Oh, but I've worked.
Because it's not you.
Yeah, I've done these with a lot of people. And some people even like, we're a family that lives outdoors. Like, I'm like, I'm indoorsy. You know, people really have unique, wonderful interests and energizers that send them in different directions. And then we did do our core values as a family as well. And we talk about them all the time. So you can't just hang them on a wall. You know, all companies have a set of values that nobody knows what they are. Right. And so in the order to do that with clarity, we've done our vision, we've done our values, and then we do our verbiage. So three V's, vision, value, verbiage. So it's those mantras, the sticky statements, those things that your family says. Leaders are readers and readers are leaders. It's been said 1,000 times. Every grandkid can recite it. We're a family who grows together. Mm. So
is it ever too late to do this? I mean, I'm thinking of the people, you know, whose kids are out of the house and they're listening to this episode going, we never did that when my kids were young. Maybe we missed the boat. Like, can you kind of just do this whenever?
What's also kind of helpful is that if you haven't done it early on, you'll be delighted to identify your core values by looking at your story, because you're living your core values, whether you've ever written them down or not.
They're giving you clues along the way, right? You just go back to those seasons and go, I see that thread.
Yeah. Story is one of our biggest exercises in coaching because you can pull, you know, your, well, now I learned I wasn't good at that. You know, we say in our family also, we're either winning or learning. We're not winning or losing. The L is not this, it's learning. We're either winning or learning. And so we're all about growth. Mm-hmm. So those are the messages that we've been saying our whole life. But what's fun about the every generation better than the one before is that even if you're at this point, maybe you've just come to know Jesus. Maybe you took your kids to church, but you didn't live a devoted life to him. You can do it now. And with great humility, you can go back to them and say, I wish I'd done this. I hope, you know, I can encourage you to do it with your kids and ask forgiveness. I've been through a couple of moments with my children that I had to ask forgiveness when they've identified something that was hurtful from our past. And I've been so blown away. And I get tear up thinking about this, because it's always such a terrible moment, right? When you, because you kind of know what you didn't do well, but then when they know what you didn't do well and they bring it to you for just a moment of, because we always say, if you're having pillow talk with your spouse on the way out of here because of something we've done, I hope that pillow talk is just to figure out how to talk to us about it.
Right.
Like, you have and to
not gossiping and slanderous.
It's okay to talk about it, process what that was, but come back and help us grow too. But I will say, I don't think there's a thing a kid wouldn't forgive if you came to them with a broken and contrite heart and encouraged them to live a better way. Yeah. And so that's why it's really exciting to talk about your learns and your failures so that next generation will live a better legacy as a result of your humility, not because you told them all the things you know.
Right. I love that. And I am thinking about that idea of, you know, I call it the meeting after the meeting. So one of the indicators maybe of some unhealth would be when you go to a meeting or you have a conversation with somebody and then you immediately go to someone else and go, oh my gosh, can you believe that that just happened? And it's, you have the meeting after the meeting because you really want to dissect all the toxic, like unhealthy things that just happened.
The debrief.
The debrief. Exactly. And in your family, I really would love to adopt this as, especially as my kids are leaving the house and as they will likely couple up and get married and things. If you're leaving our house and you are having a conversation with each other that is a frustration of, oh my gosh, every time we go to mom and dad's, this happens, that the invitation is to come back around and talk to us about it and just be honest and share. We want to grow. We want to, especially if my core value is to connect with you. And maybe I just need to be more honest with my kids about, I would love to connect with you. And I don't always know how to do that. I realize maybe some of the apologies for me is, I want to connect with you. And I'm sorry that over the years, it's been kind of my way that I've tried to manage that or steer that and not thinking about the way that you wanted to connect. I want to change that. I want to start knowing, how do you want to connect? Teach me. because I want to learn what that looks like. And so we can really connect on an in a reciprocal way rather than just like from mom's perspective. You know?
The question has been popularized in a lot of circles regarding relational intelligence is that one, like, what's it like to live on the other side of me?
Yeah. That's like the scariest question you'll ever ask,
making
right?
A lot of assumptions if you don't ask it, mm-hmm. because you're assuming I'm making them feel one way when they reveal that you actually are making them feel another way. And yeah. So just even giving them permission to say, mm-hmm. but I also, in a really good way, I have been in a situation where I said, hey, you know, you can't challenge whether I love you or not. Like, I'm sorry. You don't get to pull that card. Like, it might mm-hmm. not have felt loving, but, you know, so I can kind of get my dander up when they, you know, even in childhood, I can remember them being like, you don't love me. I'm like, okay, well, just because I've given my whole life to you, so I'm not going to buy that. You know, like,
yeah.
like, so come from the premise of, I know that it might not have hit the mark, but it's mm-hmm. not because I don't love you. So you're going to have to tell me what I need to do. Because right. my goal is love. My yeah. goal is encouragement. My goal is this. I feel like you're also just making a transition, Megan, in with your adult children. I feel like this is a weird, the boat's kind of thrashing around relationally. Yeah. You're like, right. I don't really know what to do. I'm, you know, so just slow your roll.
Slow your roll, girl. No truer words.
The process, but do that inner dialogue with the Lord in the mm-hmm. moment, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like they're prickly.
Yeah.
And if I say anything else, it's not going to go well. Should I shut my mouth or should I tell them I'm afraid you feel prickly? Like, and it's just never, it's not going to be, I mean, you can't predict, but mm-hmm. the Lord will kind of tell you when to step yeah. up and when to yeah. lean back. But you can yeah. tell them your goal. The crucial conversation stuff is amazing. And mm-hmm. I'll finish this part of our conversation with this, where you say, here's what I know to be true. I love you more than my own life. You can tear up. You can tell them what I know to be true is that I would fight for you to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm afraid of. It feels like lately when we're talking that I'm frustrating you or annoying you. And I want you to feel totally encouraged. I want you to feel capable. I want you to feel this. So you can give them the speech. And then you can ask the question. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that and have you give me some insight into it. You know, is that true? Maybe I'm too sensitive. Maybe you're not annoyed. Maybe you're just in a hurry. So mm-hmm. give them lots of grace. And then you tell them the goal. And so before you even start the dialogue, you do these three things. And then you say, hey, but my goal for this, our conversation or our relationship would be that you would, that I would be a better listener or whatever your goal is for you. And that you would be willing to lean in and tell me the hard things or, mm-hmm. you know, so whatever your goal is for that conversation, because you can't resolve it in one conversation, but you're starting to open up an opportunity for them to feel safe coming to you.
Yeah. And modeling what that mm-hmm. open conversation.
Yeah. And so those three things are, here's what I know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm afraid of. And here's my goal for the conversation.
So good.
And then, mm-hmm. you know, even invite them not to get defensive. So this week it happened to me at the table. I have mm-hmm. not been feeling well. And my husband said, hey, I don't want you to get defensive. And I was like, oh, shoot.
Oh, no. He already teed it up.
He goes, would you like some feedback on how you might feel better? Okay. And I was like, no.
No. Not if you're going to tell me like, I have to take care of myself and eat and sleep okay. well.
Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, motion is lotion, because I have joint and pain in my body. Mm. And when I don't feel good, I start shutting down and then I rest, but then I, you know, getting back is hard. And I just hated that he was right. And I was mm-hmm. totally like, but you don't know what it's like to be me, you know, yeah. give me how hard it is. You
I
know?
Don't want to do that.
But I literally thanked the Lord because he said, are you going to get defensive? Mm. I was like, probably. And we began to laugh. Like, right. It kind of like diffused the whole thing. And then mm-hmm. he asked permission to share. And I could have said no, but I yeah. said, okay, let me hear it. And I by that afternoon, I was stretching mm-hmm. in our home gym. So it's just about a gentle approach. I don't know.
a gentle
and diffuse with humor and then talk about yourself being goofy. Like, yeah. I know I'm not doing this well, you yeah. know?
Yeah. And I just hear you saying kind of almost to be open and honest about the fears. I think sometimes the things that hold us back from real connected and transparent conversations is we're only saying half the stuff that we're thinking. Now, again, if what you're thinking is rude and unhelpful, then keep it to yourself. But if what you're thinking is what, to your point, Sharon, what I'm afraid of, I don't want to say what I'm afraid of, I don't want to say what my goal is, then that's actually a problem. So I think part of the things that keeps us stuck in relationships is we just don't go for the kind of the whole truth in a way to kind of move through it and connect and get to the other side of it. Mm-hmm. We hold back out of self-protection most of the time because we just don't know how it's going to be received. So I loved your comment too about being around your grandchildren and that they might not cognitively remember you, when you are gone, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And I was thinking about the book, The Body Keeps the Score, sure. which is an entire textbook about how much our body and our intuitively absorbs. And so why not? And that's really talking about trauma. That's talking about the trauma that our bodies has absorbed. And you're giving it the kingdom lens of, okay, if your body absorbs what you've experienced, then I want to bring kingdom experience. I want to bring life and love. I think that's a really beautiful way to look at that as well. And that legacy can happen in many, many ways. You know, I'm also reflecting on the fact that it doesn't always have to be words. You and I have talked a lot about language, and I hope whoever's listening to this podcast, and I'm going to say it at the beginning, get your pen, get your paper, because Sharon is going to give you some practical and very key language. But at the same time, some of the things that might keep us stuck is, I don't know how to say it. What am I supposed to say? That's only half the battle. The other piece might be, what if they just need a hug or you just need to sit with them? I think as human beings, it's easy to really try to simplify things into language, and that's not a holistic connection all the time.
It also doesn't help when, like, for an extrovert like me, I think some people, well, I don't know how many extroverts are on their world, but you'll understand this. Like, until I say it, I can't even see it. Like, right. Introverts have this whiteboard in their brain and they're like putting it on and off the whiteboard.
We have to verbally process.
So when I'm with someone, I have to ask to be a safe place and permission to take it back if I didn't say it right. And so the same thing happens relationally. You know, I do think it's really loving to consider your words. And I help a lot of moms with teenage girls in our mentoring ministry figure out how to say it. Try not to ruffle their feathers, the whole eggshell thing. You know, what if I say it like this or like this? I'm like, well, we can work it through, but it might not land like you expect. But mostly just permission to be awkward. Like, we started talking about being awkward, like, hey, I'm just trying to say this. And if it doesn't hit right, tell me, because I need to make sure we're defining the words the same, you know? And so I think we're just not willing to do messy conversations, and we need to help people learn to do that.
Yeah. You know, have messy conversations.
And then also circle back to things a lot, you know, especially with your adult kids. Like, Megan, I can't wait till you you hang up the phone and you're like, that was weird. And then you later have a moment, but you also don't rush to it because you have eternity to tell them, you know,
okay.
Wait until you're like, get some clarity. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. I wonder if they might have felt this. And when you have that nugget, you can ask them, did I make you feel like this? And you'll be surprised. I mean, we've done this work so much that my kids, you know, I anticipate how coming in strong might make them feel this or that. And I'll even say, hey, I'm afraid it's going to make you feel this way. But intention. So, I mean, the Holy Spirit is amazing. We just have to trust the process and not feel like we have to know right then all the things and figure out the whole conversation in one 10-minute call, bring the insight back to them, you know, as the Lord reveals things to you. That really builds trust in your adult children's relationships.
I love that. Yeah. Holy Spirit is amazing. Yeah. And we can hear God's voice back to the beginning, right? We can hear his voice and trust it, especially when you know that when you play out the fruit of that voice is the fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of connection and a holy harvest, if you will, rather than if you play it out and it's rotten, then those are two very, very different trajectories. So it's amazing. I am captivated by your wisdom. I'm thankful for the hard work that you've put in with your own family and in your own life so that we can be the beneficiaries of your leadership and your coaching. If someone wanted to do more work in core values and all the things that you're doing, or even in just that theme, that topic, how would you direct them? Where do they need to go from here?
I do have a landing page, SharonMenken.com. Just shares my email address with you if you want to reach out. You know, I am in a season of life where I do more ministry relationships for coaching and more mentoring. And I am always open to a phone call or a cup of coffee. And if the Lord led us to professionally work together, that would be something we'd work out together. It's spirit led, you know, if the Lord has somebody I need to talk to or encourage, he brings them and it's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. So my email is on that landing page.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And it's very, I might have to break this into two parts because it's so rich. We don't want anybody to get overwhelmed here. So that might happen. Would you do us the honor of praying to close us up and just whatever the Lord leads you to pray on behalf of those listening?
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you have given us an eternal vision. We're so glad that we have beyond this lifetime to be with you, to do your work, to enjoy each other. It's such a reassurance. But as the as we live our life and as our earthly time is limited, I do pray that each of us lives with intention, but not distracted by the world and what the Lord says we need to be doing or achieving or succeeding in. But only in those things that you've called us uniquely to. Thank you for creating us on purpose for a purpose, that we were literally in your little workshop. You just put us together to play a part, an important role in your eternal story. And so I pray that each person here can sense their identity in you, can look to you for a vision for their life, can find freedom in grace through Christ. And then they can just join you in this journey. That is so fulfilling and satisfying and brings so much joy. Thank you for Megan and her podcast and all that she does. Thank you for anyone listening who needs encouragement today. We pray that you would meet them and let them hear your voice in a unique way, but in a way that they can not dispute that it came directly from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sharon. It's wonderful.
I loved it.
God bless you, girl. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two, if you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going. Hey everyone, I have a question for you. Does your mind ever feel like a tangled hot mess of what ifs and endless overthinking? You are definitely not alone. That's exactly why I wrote Untangled Faith, How Honest Conversations with God Lead to Deeper Connections, Clarity, and Peace. This book is designed to help you learn how to hear God's voice, because does God speak to his people? If he does speak to his people, what does his voice sound like? And how do you know if what you're hearing when you journal or pray is God's voice or your voice? This book will give you practical tools and guided journaling prompts to help you find peace and direction so that you can hear his voice. Grab your copy of Untangled Faith, along with the companion journal, of course, at Amazon today. It is time to stop overthinking and start trusting that you can hear God's voice and live with spirit-led confidence. Get your copy of Untangled Faith at Amazon today.